This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have the wonderful Inara, all the way from Christchurch. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Now, we were just talking about the weather before, and you know, here it's pretty wet and drizzly, and for you, it's quite hot. Like extremely hot.
Yeah, well, 30 degrees, but it feels a lot hotter actually.
Yeah.
We're having a bit of a heat wave here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an extremely late summer, like maybe into autumn for us this year.
It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy weather.
Now, I came across you off another podcast, Conscious Conversations with Pippa. I really liked what you were talking about when it comes to compassionate counseling. And it was the practicing self-compassion and healing. And you've been to Spirit Fest, the recent festival in the South Island, and did a workshop on inner child healing. How did you find that? Did you get a lot of good feedback? Were people resonating?
Yeah, absolutely. I went to the very first Spirit Fest that was up in Auckland, and that was the first time I ran the inner child healing up there. And I got a really good response then, so I've been doing them ever since. And this one, I don't know, I had a lot of people anyway. I gave out all my stuff and still had, you know, had to get people to share things. It felt to me a number of things actually. Like it was a really spiritual festival, so the place that it was in is very held, and it felt like it was held by the ancestors of the land. It felt like it was held by spirit. The night before my workshop, in a dream, I had a sense of children all around the marquee that I was in, all holding hands, like holding the energy. And it was kind of like the inner child of the people that were going to come to the workshop, but also represented the children in life, you know, in the world. And that, because of course, when we are doing the healing of our own inner child, we are healing for the family. We're healing for the past and what's happened, but we're also opening up to the new things that can come. And it can be so freeing and empowering. So yes, I had quite a few people come up to me afterwards, and lots of really deep, tender processes, some surprises for people. You know, they didn't think they would go so deep in such a, in some ways it's a public space because you're doing it with others, but you're very much guided to be in yourself and with yourself. So it was really wonderful. I love doing them.
Yeah, I like those workshops where you go deep and people feel safe enough and secure enough to go deep into the energies that may not be that they may be stuck inside them, and to give them a nudge and get them flowing isn't easy. So it's always good to have that space of safety and guidance as well.
It's really important, you know, when we're doing work, that we know that there's a part of us that can also bring love and care to the wounds. And so the idea of doing these workshops is not to re-stimulate trauma, but to really work with the feeling energy that's held. And then in the release of that, that helps people get in touch with what they needed to have, you know, what they needed to either hear as a child or feel as a child. And then it's actually then, how do you care for this part of you? So it's like, how do you parent this part of you that was wounded? Because if you're just opening up the wounds and then you're not really working on, so what's the way that you support yourself with this, then people are just going to feel re-wounded and they're not going to know what to do with that. So this is about really helping them feel that they can actually work with what's been held inside.
Have you heard of Neville Goddard?
No.
I feel like I've heard something similar to that. He was like maybe one of the first spiritual personal development guys, way back in the day. And I felt like he spoke to that about not going back and opening something, but like being able to time travel, but from a different space, from a different place, from observation and conscious choice. Being very aware versus being in a, you know, when you're a child or when you're younger, you don't feel so in control. You feel quite blindsided by life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're able to go back fully supported, fully guided, full, you know, feeling again back into that safe space, yeah, you can have that conscious choice to choose how you want to respond versus how you reacted in the past. And I like that idea. You know, people say you can't time travel. Well, you can. It's just a different type of time travel. And yeah.
Yeah, it's really, you know, regressing people back to that time. But yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it is actually really important to connect to what was felt, because there's an energy in that feeling that also has the answers for what you're needing now. And if you don't connect to the feeling and you don't feel it as much as it needs to feel, it needs to be felt, because remember, this is part of you. This is a younger part of you.
Yeah.
Then if you don't give it the attention and the compassion that it needs, you're only going to get part of the picture.
Yeah. I guess what I'm describing is, at that time something happened, you were in the storm, whereas now you can sort of be aware that, and you weren't, you know, you didn't know that you were in the storm, whereas now you can see the storm, you can feel the storm. Everything's the same, except you have a little bit of distance. There's a little bit of distance there. You're still feeling everything there. The storm's still there, but you're able to keep yourself centered and not get caught up and pulled away from the winds and the rain and all that stuff.
You're not the storm.
You're not the storm. That's the big thing, yes.
Yeah. So the feelings will move and change, you know, if you let them. And the thoughts can move and change and do all sorts of crazy things, as we know our thoughts are, but we're not what we feel and we're not what we think. And it's really about helping people access that energy inside of them to help them heal the parts that do feel the wounds.
So is this where Pasha therapy?
Yeah.
And this is the compassionate counselling. Is this where this is all part of it, the inner child healing?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's my particular, I guess, area, and that I've felt really drawn to keep exploring. But Pasha comes from the teachings of Raman Pasha, and Raman is channeled through Yasmin Clark, and he's come here to guide humanity in this time of, you know, the light consciousness coming in. So I've been following Raman for over 20 years now, and his guidance, and then with support from Yasmin, who is equally a guide, has helped change my sense of understanding of myself, and has helped me really come into my heart and into my more of my soul approach to life. So, and now, you know, it's just kind of natural that I then want to help others do the same, or open up to healing that is available to us. So, yeah, we have so much power within us. And, you know, I'm just reflecting, we can't have been put on this earth without some sort of guidance system within us. It's like, you know, you send out washing machines, you normally have this is how the washing machine works kind of thing.
Like a manual.
Yeah. So the manual is within us, but we just have to be willing to listen. And that's why listening to what you feel, you know, feeling the feelings and then really listening to the guidance that is within the feeling is crucial to being able to know how to navigate your way through, you know, your life and your own personal experiences, because your feelings don't lie. You know, you feel them at a physical level, at an emotional level. They can affect your thinking, and they can obviously affect your sense of whether you're open to life or whether you're feeling, you know, you're going to close off. So, you know, so much guidance in them. So it's really being willing to listen.
Yeah,
and
there's a
that's
book.
really the sorry, but that's really the teaching from Raman, is that the answers are actually within us. So this learning to listen is critical. We should learn this when we're very little.
Yeah, there's a book called The Body Knows the Score or Keeps the Score, and it is about the body. And when I teach, like, just diet and food, you got to listen to the body. You can have all these ideas about what you should eat, or you can have belief systems around food. But if the body doesn't agree with your belief system, you still got to listen to the body.
Yeah. So there's an innate wisdom, isn't there, in the body that says this isn't right for me.
Yeah. At this time in life, in this moment, no.
Yeah. So you feel it at that, you know, you might feel it in your digestive system if you've eaten something. But it's the same with experiences. You know, if we have words that come at us that don't feel very good, we're going to feel them. But then we decide if we're not open to our feelings, we're going to shut down a lot of that guidance. And what I do in the inner child workshops is I help people open up to what they felt as a child at a particular time, what they needed, and then, you know, why is this here now? Like, what's the point of this guidance for them right now? But also it helps them look at, well, what are the patterns that you've run in your life because you've had these belief systems inside of you that you learnt when you were really young that perhaps are not as supportive as what they needed to be.
Yeah, going back to the owner's manual, every living being, creature on this planet has one, right? You can see other plants and fungi and ants and mammals. They're all doing who they are effortlessly. There's no struggle. Whereas for us, we have that too, as you say, but it looks like our owner's manual gets overwritten. And I guess that's the work that you do, do you overwrite what's been overwrite the culture, the society, the parents, or do you release and let go and come back to your true nature?
It's the willingness to listen and then to release is really important because movings, once you start connecting into them, they will start to, it's almost like there's a little voice inside of you that's wanting to be heard. And so as soon as you start paying attention to that part, it will start to speak, and then you start more of a conscious relationship with that part of you.
Yeah.
And then by that, yes, you might have to look at, well, you know, what are some of the thought processes I hold inside of myself because I thought I was not loved as a child. You know, I didn't feel loved or I needed something different. But, you know, if you think of children are so absorbent, they're so open and so sensitive, and they're sensitive to energy. And it's the feelings that are the first thing that they are connecting into. The baby is connecting into the energy around it. And that's way before conscious thoughts come in. So that's why it's so natural to us, you know. But so if we listen, then it can start to flow and tell us what it's needed. And that might mean, actually, I absorbed a belief about myself that I was stupid, for example, and that hasn't been very kind. And I've kept repeating it to myself. But, you know, with a lot of the kind of the early experiences we have, we might have taken on messages, but we're not even conscious that they're in there. They're not so much in the conscious thought, they're in the subconscious, and they are just sort of sitting under everything that we do. But once you start opening up to the feelings, then you get to see, here's the feeling. This is the need that I had. And, you know, who did I need it from? Did I need a loving hug from a mum or guidance from my dad? And I didn't get it. And so therefore I believed this about myself. And I've played this out in my life in various ways. So it can go very, very deep.
So you said it's like a voice, you know, our body, our mind, our true nature. Is it a voice, an actual voice, or is it like a voice? Because I've got voices telling me to eat that cookie and sleep in and, you know, don't do these things, actual voices. But I'm thinking when you say the other innate voice, that's more of a sensation, something you feel into. Is that right? Or is it an actual blah, blah?
Well, if it's the wounded child that's inside, then that child is wanting to be heard. And it speaks to us through uncomfortable feelings.
Mm.
But mostly, you know, we've learned so many things about feelings, mostly either avoid them, disconnect from them, you're wrong to have them. So a lot of times people will just literally try and push the feelings aside. And then other voices come in like, eat that cookie, because that can be a distraction from actually, what if I sat with myself and I felt? And if you did that and you took that pause and you connected in, you might go, oh, actually there's a feeling in here and I'm actually just trying to avoid it. Because inside you will know whether actually is this, can I eat this cookie or not? Is this, you know, the right thing for me? But often we reach out and do those things because we're actually trying to distract ourselves from what we feel. It's an avoidance pattern. And it can also be a protection pattern, because there'll be part of us saying, when you had that feeling when you were younger, you didn't get loved and met in the way you needed to, and that you've been told that feeling is wrong, so therefore we need to protect that feeling.
Yeah, I got an insight from Resolution Festival. Resistance is protection. So yeah. You're resisting.
Yeah.
You're denying, you're not accepting what was and what is. And I think denial is one of those steps towards suffering, you know. It's one of the doors to suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these parts, and they're not there really to be annoying. They're there because they want healing. But, you know, if you think of yourself as a child, or you just think about, you know, children generally, children are just so full of joy and light, you know, and the younger you go, the more so, if you're thinking an age, and it's just kind of natural to their way of being. And they're really connected into themselves. And from my perspective, that means they then are connected into a more spiritual sense of themselves in this world, but also more spiritual life. It's just really natural to children. So in those feelings of the wounds, there's also the reminder that actually that's who we were as kids. And then how can I start bringing that energy back into my life now? So it's inner child's there at one to heal, but also to bring some wisdom and guidance that we have forgotten as adults. And, you know, you think, well, how come kids can be so full of joy and light and hope and possibility and curiosity? You know, what happens to us as adults that we're carrying all this difficult stuff and we're caught up in our mind and negatively anticipating the future, our worries and fears.
So, that must be part of our owner's manual, that joy, that light, that playful curiosity, that's in the owner's manual, because we have that as kids. It's right there. It's not instilled. Like, I don't remember anyone teaching me happiness. I was happy.
No, you knew it. Yeah, and it's on the very first pages in the manual.
Well, maybe there's just one page and that's it.
Well, that's right. That's right. But it seems to me that we get, we're almost, I thought of this term the other day. I was thinking educational engineering, that, you know, we're engineered up into, come up into the mind and think your way through problems, rather than actually looking at, well, where's the balance of feeling awareness and intuition and a sense of inner knowing? You don't hear, you know, many schools kind of looking at that side of things. It's all, you know, think.
So you're talking about the brain versus the heart, or being brain-centered and logic and rational versus holistic.
Yeah.
And seeing the whole picture. I mean, is that how you got into this? Were you quite stuck in the head yourself in the past?
I know I was. I was stuck in lots of really painful feelings, and I was just, you know, like in a, do you know what I mean when I say the eddy in a river, and just going round and round and round in circles, just stuck with very painful sort of life crises stuff, and just didn't know how to get through it. And, you know, the guidance for me was I needed to keep feeling it, but I tended to feel the feelings really deeply, and I would have, you know, lots of emotion and lots of tears, but then I was still stuck. And a big part of it for me was actually starting to really recognize that actually within me, there's a part of me that isn't this, and I really needed to start drawing on her. And the qualities of who I am that I would just naturally give to other people, you know, care and kindness and compassion and gentleness, I had to really say, oh, well, how do I start giving those to me? Mm. And that's why for me, you know, I do compassionate counselling, but it's really helping people learn self-compassion, because we'll often give these things away to others and, you know, not think too much about it. But then it's like, well, what if you were actually, you needed this for yourself as well?
Yeah, I know a lot of parents give so much to their family. And they say that they don't have time, or they don't know how to give it to themselves, because, you know, their family is more important. But imagine if they did look after themselves in that way with self-compassion, how much more they could give as well.
It's like sleep.
A lot of people say, oh, I've got a lot of stuff to do, I only sleep 3-4 hours. But if you sleep 5-6 hours, you can actually do a whole lot more. And I think self-compassion is that way as well. You can give a lot of love, but if you only give to others and not yourself, you're not giving as much as you could.
If you give in to your biggest need, and that's why, you know, because that they are communicated through the feelings inside, the tension in a body. It can be even just, oh, my mind is really busy, so what am I needing to do to help sort of calm, you know, calm things down? If you give in to what your biggest need is and you take some action around it, like, you know, in a really loving, supportive way, then it actually gives you more energy for life. If you don't listen to it and you avoid it, it's only going to just increase. And it's, and if you keep not listening to it, it has to then get really, really loud to get your attention. And that's, you know, where people can get really sick and unwell.
Yes.
Because it's actually the body's way and the soul's way of saying, you need to stop and take stock and listen.
Or it will stop you for you.
Or we will have to stop you. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a past version of myself hearing you say this. And what if my biggest need is sugar?
Mm.
But that makes no sense. Of course it's not sugar. And then how do I know what's the difference between a need and a want?
Mm. Yep.
Do you have anything there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, wants are often, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that. And they can, a lot of the time they can come from the head. Whereas there's a real kind of honesty about actually this is my real need. You know, so you know you need to have food.
Okay, yeah.
That's like a simple basic, I need to eat. But and you might say, I want to eat sugar because it tastes nice and I feel a bit better, or I get a bit of an uplift from it. But actually, if you listen to your body, the need might be, I need something really nourishing and wholesome that's going to help my digestive system. So there's... Yeah,
I think I just got self-compassion is being honest and truthful and authentic. And if it's not that, then you're lying to yourself. You're deluding yourself. It's self-deception.
Yeah, it's quite a hard way of saying
Well, the
it.
truth hurts.
Well, you have to remember that these patterns are really often the resistance to the listening, or the resistance to feeling things that feel painful. So you actually have to be kind to those parts as well. And if you're saying, "Oh, I'm lying to myself," and then you get annoyed, that's not with yourself. That's not really that
Yeah,
compassionate.
I think in the past I would have been like, oh man, stop lying to yourself. Whereas now it's like, I'll laugh at myself. Are you lying to yourself again? Come on. But yeah, it takes a while to get there, right? To go from self-denigrating, blaming to, and that's what compassion's all about. It's about empathy and understanding and kindness and generosity, not blaming, not pushing away. Yeah.
Yeah, not the shaming of self.
Shaming, that's the one.
Yeah.
And guilt, shame and guilt, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I was thinking, if you said something to somebody like, "Oh, you're really stupid," you can expect that that person's going to feel hurt at some level, or they're going to take those comments in a negative way. So if we're saying that to ourself or something else that's negative, then our whole being is hearing that. But it doesn't work to just say, "Well, I'm going to swap that out for another thought. I'm going to say, 'Oh no, I'm really, fantastic.'" If at a deep level inside you don't really believe it.
Right.
And that's why listening to the feelings can help you take yourself deeper in to release the feeling, and then really see the effect of that belief, and then feel the choice that is available. And really, that you're putting that choice out there and going, "Well, so am I going to choose to continue this pattern that I know is negative, but I'm sort of stuck in it?" And often I think there's a familiarity with patterns that we like, even though they're negative, because we know them. Whereas it can equally feel quite vulnerable to go, "Actually, that wasn't fair that I learned that belief. And that's not me at my truest nature. And I'm willing to believe that I'm not stupid, that I've actually am capable, and I'm willing to believe it. Even if part of me doesn't believe it now, I'm willing to believe it, and I'm going to keep really reminding myself of, actually, these are the things that I am doing that show that I'm capable." Even if it's, "Actually, I got up and I did something a bit different today in how I cared for myself." Because then you're starting to feed that energy rather than the energy that says, "I'm stupid and I can't do anything." And that's what brings the solution, really, is you keep focusing on, "Okay, this is the way I want to go. I want to keep nourishing myself." And of course, we often fall out of it again. And it's not then about beating yourself up that you've fallen down. It's like, "Oh yeah, I've gone back to an old pattern. I'm really sorry I've done that to myself, and I commit again to this."
Yeah, I've got a picture of a garden of weeds and a nice garden in my head, and you may be watering the weeds for a long time, and all of a sudden, you know what? I want to water my garden, grow some tomatoes, grow some nice vegetables. And every now and then you'll go back, why am I watering the weeds? I want to water my garden. You keep walking over to the garden, back to the weeds, back to the garden. Over time, if you're patient and kind to yourself, you'll be living in the garden. You'll be feeding off that garden.
That's a lovely analogy. But also that the weeds are, they're kind of the wounds. So they don't just need to be ripped out, they need to be tended to with love and care.
Well, in real life, weeds are telling you what's in the soil. So they're actually telling you what's there, what's happening. So you need to look at those weeds, accept them, acknowledge them. Oh, thank you for telling me something about myself.
So, it's a big thing. And the whole thing with self-compassion is it is something that's within each of us to do. It's within our power to do it. So you don't have to go out and, pay lots of money to get it, or Yeah, you don't have to go out and read books to do it. It's actually available to us all the time. It is within our power to do it.
I've got a sense, though, it's something you can't teach and or you can't think about and then get it. You have to feel it. You have to sense it. Do you think it's kind of like having an awakening, or is that what it is, like finally feeling it?
It's accessing the deeper part of knowing within you that knows how to care for you, and then listening. And then if you just listen and you don't act, then you've just got awareness, but nothing really changes. But if you act, then you're giving a signal of, actually, I am starting to take care of myself and I can do this.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking on my past self. I didn't know what self-compassion was. I mean, I started to look after myself eventually, going to the gym, eating better. And I guess just on that path, eventually over time, it happened. You know, I after doing those loving acts, I loved myself more fully. I mean, I loved myself in doing those acts, but it was being persistent with those loving practices that now it's just innate. It's just there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And a good place to start off with is the body. So how can I be kinder to my body? And because your body is your physical foundation for your experience of life. And so if I start with how do I care for my body and listen to it, and then, you know, am I eating healthily? Am I getting the sleep? Am I drinking water? Am I taking rest and relaxation time? I mean, they're all kind of quite basic things. And really, at a deep level, we know those things.
Yeah, well, I teach those. I teach 7 holistic lifestyle principles, and the first 2 are earth and water, which are about food and hydration.
Yeah.
And in the workshops, I tell people, I'm not teaching anything new here. I'm here to help you remember the fundamentals, the basics.
Yeah. But then there's kind of the deeper layers of nourishment of the body as well. So, you know, the taking yourself out into nature and filling up, you know, because you're nourishing your body, you're detoxing from technology, you're letting, you know, yourself be in the air and feel the sun and the light, etc., or the weather.
But yeah, going back to that first page of the owner's manual.
yeah, absolutely. What kids naturally like to do, once you get them off technology, of course. But the nature has a way of connecting us into a spiritual sense of life as well. You know, that there's so much beauty.
What do you mean when you say spiritual? When I hear that, I'm thinking holistic, connected with everything.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking more religious?
No, not religious.
Yeah.
No. To me, there's a sense of how we are all connected.
Interconnected.
We're all part of one consciousness, but we're just our own individual part of it. And if we connect more into ourselves, then we're more able to tap into that collective consciousness energy. And then we can feel our connection to the earth. And so if we're hurting the earth, we're also hurting part of ourselves. If we're hurting each other, we're actually hurting ourselves. So to me, that's a sense of spiritual nature of life. But then I also have a sense of spirit guides and teachers that come with me, a sense of different energies that can happen in the room when there is a more spiritual sense, or it's more they're there always, but it's more our openness to it. So there's that side as well, the sense connecting to the divine.
Yeah, would you say that's being present in presence?
Yeah, absolutely. Present and presence, and again, that's through listening, you know, and feeling. You can't get there through your mind.
Yeah, there was a saying I wanted to say, you cannot think your way into right action, but you can act your way into right thinking.
Yeah.
Action, action. So you can't think your way there, you got to act your way there.
Yeah, well, you have to feel your way there, really, and then take action from what feels right inside. And, you know, I was just thinking about if you go and look at a sunrise or a sunset, you might be thinking, oh, yeah, that's really beautiful. But really, you're thinking that because you're feeling it. Like you feel the wow or the look at that, that's amazing. It doesn't come from the mind and then filter down. It's you just sense
it's an,
it.
It's an all body mind sensation, eh?
Yeah.
It just takes you over. It's awe. It's awe. It's wonder. Yeah. It's yeah. To me, it's like an acknowledgement of a power that's bigger than you. You know, the human you. Yeah, and it's seeing a beautiful truth or truth which is beautiful.
Hmm.
I think truth is always beautiful. It just hurts sometimes. It's
and
a beautiful
yet,
pain.
Within you, there is like a light, you know, like a candle light, if you want to imagine that, that is within you. And that is the same as what you're seeing in the sunset. Like when you connect to, wow, that's amazing. That actually part of that, wow, that's amazing, is actually also in you.
Yeah, I think you're talking about namaste, and I think that's what people get when they see other people. When we see a beautiful person, it's not a look at them, it's a, well, look what we are, look at what we are, you know? It's a recognition of, hey, that beauty over there is the same beauty that's in here. You can only see what you have, which also means if you see a lot of hate, then there's a lot of hate in you, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, what do you want to see in the world? You would want to grow and nurture in yourself.
Well, you can look out and see stuff that feels really, really painful. That doesn't necessarily mean it's inside of you. It depends how you're viewing it. If you're viewing it from your heart and you see things that are hurting, then you're viewing it from more of a place of awareness. Like, oh, those things that is happening over there, that's painful, that, you know, hurting people. And it doesn't mean that that hate and stuff is inside of you. So I don't quite agree with what you were saying before.
But no, I mean, like, if you see hate and all you see is hate, like, you don't see any way out of it. This is all kind of like a pessimistic view. And there's no sort of light. You don't know. This is all darkness.
Yeah.
And to me, that means that the spark within you just needs a little ignition and needs a little support, because there is a light in you.
Yeah.
But maybe just the shadows overcome it.
You're focusing too much on
the weeds.
It's often too much on the mind, and you've kind of forgotten. And you know, the mind, if left, it needs a guide, the mind, and that's why the heart and the soul is so important. But if you leave the mind on its own, it can be a little bit like a 2-year-old and go a bit crazy inside. So it needs to know that the soul is in charge. Mm. Otherwise, it can just wreak havoc through negatively repeating thoughts repeating negative thoughts or anticipating negatively what's going to happen in the future, and it hasn't even happened, yet you're already living it. So when that's happening, that's really important to actually, I need to come back to my breath, slow everything down, because once we feed that sort of treadmill of anxiety, and it can just take it, just as like the little mouse, you know, on the little running wheels, just can go crazy, and your whole system gears up, you know, for the whole fight flight, because you are running just on adrenals. So okay, I need to come back to nourishing my body. I need to just take my time, go walk on the beach
and be here and be now.
But you know, in the being here and being now, it might be, okay, if I slow down, then I might actually start to get in touch with what are the feelings that are driving these thoughts. And that's the key, is what's underneath that drives this, and what then if I worked with this part of me instead?
Yeah, back to what you were saying before about, you know, having sort of affirmations, there may be some people who aren't able to say that I love myself, or, you know, look in the mirror and say I love you, but maybe they can say I have the potential to, or it's possible for me to love myself. There's always a way to set up a path toward being more loving.
Yeah.
Even if you can't see it,
yeah.
You can sort of start paving those stones, and the potential is there.
Yeah. I'm willing to learn.
That's the word I used before, willing.
Yeah. Because there's, there's no point saying it if you don't actually believe it.
Yeah.
It's not, and no matter how many times you say it, if that's not going to make the belief happen. Because you have to feel it. You have to feel the love for yourself. So if you can feel love for others, or if you can feel love for plants or animals or doing something, then you have love inside of you. So therefore, it is possible for you to know love for yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to believe it. And you can ask. You know, that we do life so much on our own.
Mm.
And often, you know, that can be because we've felt wounded by people, or we've got these beliefs that we have to do it on our own. But you can always just ask Spirit, help me. You can take a deep breath in and say, I have this deep need inside of me. I want to do this differently. I know this is hurting me. Can you help me? Can you show me? And then if you stay open, it's amazing what will come. And it might come through a conversation or a book. You know, you see a line and it just resonates. So if we're willing to be open and trusting that support will come if we let it in, you know, we're the barriers to everything, really. But if I'm willing to let these barriers down and say, I'm willing to be guided. Not like a you take over Spirit, you run my life, but no, I'm in charge, but I'm wanting to know how to do this differently. Mm. I need to be kinder to myself. Please show me a way. Then it absolutely comes.
Yeah. I mean, just last week I was kind of in the middle. I was stuck between four decisions and choices and doing things, and I was at first I was running around like a headless chicken, and then I just stepped back and did something totally different, nothing to do with those four, and from that other action the next action came and the next action came. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just gotta stop, do something else, have a pause, ask for guidance, and just have faith and patience and surrender that the answer will come.
There's always kind of a vulnerability in that, really, because the mind, of course, wants to be in control and know how things are going to unfold and stuff. So it feels vulnerable because it's kind of like going on to the edge of what you've known, on the sort of standing on the precipice of, I'm taking a step into the unknown here. But it's worth it. It's well worth it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the issue I had was that I wanted to know what was going to happen next. You know, I wanted the certainty. Mm-hmm. And that was causing a lot of issues, and I just had to let go. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we sign off?
There's probably lots we could talk about. But
oh, yeah, definitely.
I really want to, praying and sending my love for people that have been affected. Up your way, and up in Auckland and Northland, in terms of the weather and stuff. That's always sad to hear when people have been affected like that. Mm. Really encouraging people to take some conscious breaths every day. The more you come into your breath in a really conscious way, you come down from the busyness of the mind, more just sensing and feeling into the body and listening to it. You know, that's a real part of self-compassion and self-support. Acknowledging what is felt is a really good starting place. So rather than just wishing it wasn't there, but starting to have that conversation with, okay, I'm noticing you, so you must be here to show me something, and I'm willing to listen. And, you know, those things we can all do ourselves as well. So, you know, taking that time to have the rest, you know, and bringing in some of the joyful child back in, you know, the play and that lightness in life. We have to keep a balance, otherwise life can just feel really hard work. And so, yeah, I think those are good things to be starting with.
That's great. Thanks for that. Yeah, I think I know I used to take life a lot more seriously, and it just wasn't as fun as it is now. So I'll take your advice and your actions to heart. Well, thanks, Sanada. Thank you for coming on. That was very beautiful. And yeah, I'll catch up with you next time. Definitely, we've got more to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much, Jason.
Cool.
Take care.
Thank you, Inara, for coming on the show. I really enjoyed that beautiful conversation. It was a blessing for me to be in dialogue with you. For those of you who would like to work with Inara or learn more about her services and offerings in compassionate counseling and Pasha therapy, you can go to her website, compassionatecounseling.co.nz. And I would like to share a quote from Inara and her website. Through self-acceptance, I give up fighting myself. Tension leaves my body. I turn within and open the door to hope. And that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.